Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to BTW, and we're going to drop some PvP knowledge on all you suckers.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the TW Beginner to P podcast. My name is Chris, aka AstroZombie954.
My name is Jacob, aka Dino El Magico.
Okay, Dad17.
And today is Monday, October 11th, and it's another fun week of news and updates and some crazy shit that's come out. Actually came out a lot, came out today. So yeah. We did our best to put things together and get as much of the stats and research and stuff like that all together, so we didn't sound like complete idiots talking about it. besides that, strap yourself in, because this will probably be a longer episode. Even though I know at least I'm exhausted. I think Dino's running off of like 4 hours of sleep.
But you know,
I'm so tired.
When aren't we tired? That's the question.
Right? We're parents and we're always tired. So we did Community Day on Saturday, and it was, you know, we had the Secrets of the Jungle cup. So before we do that, I just want to ask. I know I watched it. Brett, Wildcat, did you watch Secrets of the Jungle?
All of the feels. Just hit so close to home. Honestly, probably my favorite Pokemon movie. It's right there with the original. It's so close between the two of them. And I think the storyline hit a lot closer to home. I don't want to give any major spoilers away, but it's very father-child related story. So it hits really close. Dino, I think you were trying to watch it. Did you get a chance?
Yeah, I actually watched it a little bit after Astro was telling me about it. Actually, I was literally putting it on as you were telling me about it. I'm like, oh man, I'm a little scared to watch it. But because I remember when the first movie came out, dude, just bawling out, you know. So I was like, oh my god, Pikachu, you know. So with this one, I got to it and I actually got like goosebumps, you know, like watching it. I was trying, my kid was next to me. So I'm like, I was trying to hold it in. I'm like, oh my god, I can't, like, and then my kid was actually tearing up. So was just like, it was adorable, but it's a really good movie. I guess I also haven't like watched a Pokemon movie in a while. The prior one, like the ones that are like remakes of the first one, I watched that one on Netflix. But I haven't really watched like a few of them, like from like the black and white era.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah. I feel like is it just me, or is it like between like around that, it wasn't like that sentimental as well, like for those?
Yeah, I think it was, they just weren't written as well. The animation, in my opinion, was a little wonky during the entire black white era. It's come a long way ever since Sun and Moon came back. even though I will say the Sun and Moon movie, I can't even remember the name, The Power of Us, is not good. No. It's not good.
I wasn't actually that well written. I feel like the anime wasn't as well, but this one like was on point every like step of the way, to be honest.
Yeah, my daughters went around telling everyone about Zarude. My wife's like, what is she talking about? I'm like, it's the Pokemon movie. Don't worry about it.
There's actually maybe something maybe you guys can answer. So my kid asked me a question, and I had no idea what to tell him. He asked me, you know, he's like, Celebi and Mew are mythical Pokemons, right? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, if Zarude is a mythical Pokemon, why is there more than one?
There are more than one of all mythical and legendary Pokemon. They're just becoming, they're increasingly rarer depending upon the Pokemon.
So yeah, to me, like when I was younger, I always thought like there's only like one Mew, two, and like legendary Pokemon you can see a lot of, you know? And then I had that, you know, that idea in my head. So I'm like, why? Like, I feel like they also did that with Genesect. There was a bunch of those when it was versus Mewtwo.
Melmetal is also another one. Meltan, exactly. Melmetal.
Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know why I thought like when it's a mythical Pokemon, I thought it'd be like one, like, you know, special kind. But then I was like, oh. And then also, oh, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was a great, like when I was like at the end, I was like, wow, like it completely blew my mind. I was like, no way. So yeah. So much. It just completely every single like things. I'm like, I didn't even notice this. Just blown away by the movie.
And yeah, for those main series players, make sure that you, if you have a Pokemon Trainer Club account and you subscribe to emails, you should have your code for Dada Zarude and Shiny Celebi in your inbox. So make sure to check that. Unfortunately, if you didn't get it, it's too late now as far as getting the email. But if you have subscribed, go and check your email. And if you haven't subscribed, go check the box. They send out free crap all the time for the main series game. Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Good to know.
Yeah. I watched it with the kids. Yeah. I had to, at one point, like get up and kind of walk out of the room. It hit a little too close to home too soon. But it was probably the best Pokemon movie that I've seen in a very long time. So
yeah, actually, when I saw the movie and I'm like, okay, Zarude, I'm like, you know, I don't think it's gonna be that great. You know, it's a new movie, so I'm like, let me try it. So I was completely going into the movie with like really no high hopes at all for it, like for it to be good. So that just made it, I feel like, a lot better for me as well. So it was good overall, to be honest.
Yeah. So there was that. That I thought that event was pretty good. I didn't see anything. There wasn't anything like I was disappointed with. I liked having the Jesse and James balloons come back every once in a while. But it was all right. It wasn't bad. And then we had community day on Saturday, and I was going to go out and like really grind for it. And it started to rain like right around like 11:30, and I just like it killed it. So I just,
the rain killed it for me as well.
I just put on an incense, I put on the star piece and my gacha, and just kind of walked around the house and did some stuff in the backyard, or you know, things like that. And not bad. I think I did like 150,000 Stardust. I got a rank 2 Dusknoir for Ultra League, which still sucks. And then now I have 3, I think it's like 98-99% Dusclops for Great League. So now I'm just like, which one do I build?
If only it was a purified so you could have return.
So that's, I noticed, so on PV Poke it says that return is, it's return and
Fire Punch.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, honestly, like it's not like how Sableye is. Like want a purified Sableye. Like I think with Dusclops, you can get away with not.
You absolutely can. It becomes a lot spammier without it being a shadow or a purified. Actually,
okay, yeah, because I think because none of mine are purified, so I think I have Shadow Punch and Fire Punch.
Yeah, I think like that's like the standard moves it has when it's not purified.
Yeah, so
Because I was like, man, it's a return, but I don't have one of these.
So. Maybe one day I'll get a better move other than like return. Oh,
yeah.
So we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying I expect a large increase in Dusclops for this Halloween Cup coming up.
Yeah, overall, I think it was a fine community day. I don't think it was anything over the top. It was a good, you know, three times catch dust. And to be frankly honest, with looking at the Secrets of the Jungle event was actually, you know, a fairly good event. And then this Halloween event is going to be insane for 2 weeks. I'm okay with a okay community day. I think it was, you can't have the entire month be over the top. So I think this was a good little break in the middle of the month kind of thing.
Oh, no, I agree for sure. It was good.
Yeah.
Like Astro, I didn't, you know, grind too hard as much as I wanted to, especially because of the dust. But overall, you know, I got what I wanted. So got some dust and nothing too crazy. I already had some good Dusclops that I wanted to evolve, you know, but I'm not too crazy about the shiny, so I didn't really care for it.
Yeah, I finally got the shiny. That was a new shiny for me. Game since it released.
That's insane. That's crazy. But I mean, like, what do you guys think? Do you guys actually like think the shiny of the final evolution? Like, I don't understand how it goes from red to that. You know?
No, I think the Dusclops and the Duskull are better looking than the Dusknoir. The Dusknoir is just like meh.
And that actually is pretty common for those eventual evolutions that got added at a later date. If you look, their initial shinies don't always match the new shiny. And part of that is because some artistic direction that came out with the main series game. And I won't give much more than that because that can eventually be a factor crap for you.
Great.
Probably will be.
Oh, man. Awesome.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
So we did mention they've released everything for the October event. So we have a lot of stuff. So we're going to kind of just consolidate some of the things that we're going to talk about maybe next week. Like Lunar Cup. Lunar Cup is going on right now in Sylph. The BTW Lunar Cup has started. We're our second round as of today. And I know like me and Wildcat both have some other tournaments going on. So next week, we're going to probably talk a little more in depth about the Lunar Cup and what we've been seeing and some of, you know, the Pokemon that can help you out, you know, towards the end of the month, especially since this is the first month of the new season. So this is a good, you know, good chance to get your ranks up quickly. So there's that. Then there was also something that came out on Twitter, and I'm pretty excited because I've always wanted to go. And I've been once, but it was just for business. So I didn't really get to sightsee. It was just for like 3 or 4 days, and it was literally just to visit, you know, a customer that we have there. But Universal Studios has signed a partnership with the Pokemon Company. And it looks like there's going to be a Pokemon World in Universal Studios Japan.
I want to go so bad. I need to go so bad. Between that and Mario World and then Tokyo Disney, it was also, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do question how big of a collaboration this is going to be, because they did announce the start date is 2022. So you're not going to see a Mario World level collaboration, I don't think, where there's a kind of an entire new theme park inside of the theme park. I wonder if you're just going to get Pokemon characters walking around the park and things.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going
to, yeah, I just hope they bring it to Orlando. And if it is like, Universal's got my money.
Oh, for
between
sure.
Between that and Harry Potter, like, I'm done.
Do you have a, what is it called? A year membership? Oh,
I've had annual passes for Disney for like 15 years. Cause my family's just like a Disney family.
Gotcha.
And occasionally we'll go to Universal Studios, but now like with like the Nintendo thing that's going to be going on there. And now if this comes there, like, forget it. Like, sorry.
You're going there every month.
Yeah. I mean, Disney still has Star Wars Land, so, you know.
And Rise of the Resistance is a game-changing ride.
I still haven't been yet. I'm still a little nervous about going to, like, big places like that right now.
Oh, I gotcha.
Go midweek. Midweek, okay. The crowds are not bad.
Okay.
But give it another, wait until like February and then go midweek. Because right now, because the 50th is so popular and then you've got Christmas coming up, the next 3 months are just.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. If I go, it'll be like January because then it's cooler down here. Like this, that'll be like our winter. It'll get like, what, 65?
That's already cold.
Yeah. yeah, no, I was like, man, it got to like, I think it was like in like the mid 70s the other night, and I was like, need a sweater.
And you got girls taking out their boots and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, but people can really see like Brad's face. I mean, my god, that face is priceless.
He's so mad.
I don't like you two anymore.
So besides that, and the Lunar Cup, we teased last week that we have in our Discord, in the BTW Discord, a new custom meta that we're going to run a tournament for towards the end of the month. We finally nailed down a date. It's going to start on October 22nd. Registration will probably start, what, a week before?
It'll probably start Wednesday, actually, when all the official full details come out, or when the show comes out.
Yeah, okay. So we're not going to go too much into, like, we're not going to discuss, like, all the Pokemon and stuff like that, but I'll just give you, like, a brief overview. So the name of the cup is the Ash Ketchum Cup. We came up with the idea mainly because Dino loves talking about his Ash's Pokemon and how he always likes to try and use at least one in something. So I was basically, like, you know what? Like, why don't we just do a whole cup just using the Pokemon that Ash has used throughout the series? So so that's the general. So those are going to be your Pokemon. Now, the wrinkle in the whole thing is the Pikachu. So every trainer has to have a Pikachu on their team. It has to be the original no costume Pokemon, unless it's the Ash Hat Pikachu. It can't be any higher than 800 CP, and you have to use it at least, I think it's like once in your three battles.
And it can't be battle three. It has to be one of the first two.
Yeah. So it's, I think that's fun because
it makes you think, you know, a strategy using a 800 CP Pikachu on your squad. I think it's different, you know?
Yeah. But the Pikachu's still pretty spammy.
Yeah. After I used it in the little cup, I saw how spammy that thing is.
Yeah. Yeah. So just no charm Pikachu.
Correct. I think Charmachu is only in one of the costumes, so I don't think it's even eligible really.
Yeah.
As a normal move.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to see the list, I'm not sure. Did we decide on bans? Is there gonna be a ban?
There is one ban.
Okay, and that is
Goodra.
Okay.
That is simply because Goodra only loses to two Pokemon that's in the entire list.
That's crazy. Which is insane. Like, I would have thought, like, other Pokemon, but that's just insane to me. After you showed me, I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so unfortunately, Goodra did get the ban hammer drop, but everyone else, there's the complete list. So just so you know how we built the list, this is based on Bulbapedia's list of Ash's Pokemon. And that has been actively used at least once in battle. So, for example, anything he's caught and immediately released is not eligible.
Yeah. So, wait. Did he use Butterfree?
He did use Butterfree one time.
Okay.
And then he released it. And that was the very sad, crying, bye-bye Butterfree.
Yeah, yeah.
Hit the feels.
The thing, when you guys look at the list, you'll see there's a lot of first stage and second stage evolutions. That's because Ash was never like to evolve his Pokemon until Sun and Moon. I think Sun and Moon was that's the one he actually won. Like he still had
three second stage Pokemon on the Sun and Moon roster, even.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean his main ones. Like I think when the last battle was Melmetal, Lycanroc, and then
Torracat. He did not even have an Incineroar.
Okay, that's right. Yep. Well, so I'm gonna make a challenge to anyone who is listening and is going to do this cup. If you can get in the top four of the tournament only using first and second stage Pokemon, I will give you a $20 gift card. Just general $20 gift card.
Does that still apply to me?
Yes. That but you only get half of that. No.
I don't want
that. No. That's anyone. First and second stage only. You cannot go any higher than that. So just because there's so many of them in there.
Hey, just keep true. In mind, Melmetal is only a second stage evolution.
Oh, see? There's some sneaky ones in there. But don't give it away. This is where you're just trying to hand my money to people.
No, just you'll find everyone's going to have a Melmetal anyways when you look at the rankings.
Yeah. I think I've got my Lucario finally. It's like, yay, I could use Lucario. And then he's going to suck like always. So that's all going to be in the Discord on Wednesday and the day this comes out. And if you aren't part of the Discord and you want to be part of the Discord, check the show notes for the link for our Patreon so that you can join and hang out with us and do fun cups like this. So let's get into the giant shit show that is this new Halloween event and the esports and the Twitch rivals and all this other fun stuff that has come out in the past couple of days. And let's move over to our in-game news. It's the in-game news. All right. So strap yourself in. Like I said, strap yourself in because this is a long one. So bear with us. We'll try and talk intelligently about most of it. So let's start with some of the announcements that have come out. So at the beginning of season 9, they made like this like very vague statement saying that your rankings are going to count more this season than they ever have in GBL. And also kind of pushing you to try and hit legend as quickly as possible. And we found out last week?
Yeah, literally 5th? The day after we recorded. Yeah. every time it happens. Yeah,
exactly. On the 5th, they put out a post for the Pokemon Go Pokemon World Championships. And everything that we've kind of speculated for almost a year on this show about the esports and everyone's kind of like been throwing it around and, you know, oh, well, now they're adding more Pokemon that are PvP relevant, et cetera. You know, maybe they're pushing it's done. Like they're doing it. It's going esport. And it looks like from what I've read, it's going to be invitational. You'll have to get an invitation and you have to, the first people who are going to get invitations are going to be Dino.
Didn't even say legends.
It's going to be all of you legends, everyone who's hit legend rank.
Specifically in season 9.
Yes, specifically in season 9. So if you hit it last season, it doesn't count. It has to be for this season, season 9. And you will be able to register earlier than, I guess, everyone else. And then I think once they go through that period, then they'll let other people register. Is that right?
Yeah. So I think from what I saw, it said anyone that wants to hit legend before November 29th is basically the window if you want to sign up or register early. So,
and there is limited amount of spots. So even if all legends are guaranteed, but there'll be a limited amount of spots for those that don't hit legend that will be open available after the legends get their spots. So even if you don't hit legend, that doesn't mean you're out. It just means that you're going to have to be vying for a very small number of spots. So Astro, there's still a chance is what we're saying.
There's still a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah, I'm not going to register for this one because I don't think I'm ready for that yet. I don't want to like disappoint myself, but it does give me, I guess it gives me more push to hit legend. I want to hit legend, but I think like veteran and expert and stuff like that were more of like a reachable like goal for me. But now it's like, I want to hit legend because I want to be able to compete in this.
So let me inform you a little bit to help you make a decision here. So how much do you guys know about Pokemon plays and the actual competitive Pokemon scene, whether that's TCG, VGC, or Pokken tournament today?
I've played the TCG online.
Okay, so nothing.
But never in like a tournament.
So nothing.
Never in like a tournament round.
Yeah, I've seen the, I guess, wherever they play, you know, the world championships for TCG and stuff like that, but didn't ever really like follow too much into it.
So what they end up doing is they'll host multiple different smaller regional events throughout the year. At these different regional events, you earn points based on how you finish. So even if you don't win a regional tournament, doesn't mean you're knocked out immediately of any chance of competing, unlike Sylph, for example. So you earn points throughout the season to be able to earn your way to Worlds. So you'll be able to go and compete at these different regional sites. And that's what the registrations will be for. And the early registration is to sign up for your regional site where you want to go and compete. Really important things here. They are doing what they can to ensure everyone's on an even playing field as well. So I'll let Astro talk a little bit about that if you'd like to, or I can cover it too, how they're trying to level the playing field for folks.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So what they've come out and said is to inform and make the best use of everyone's abilities. They are not letting you bring your own devices. So everyone will be issued a company phone from Pokemon Plays at a tournament site and have to log on to their account on that particular phone. So everyone will be playing with the same device over local Wi-Fi connections or on Wi-Fi connection on the same Wi-Fi connection. So I know I've heard all the feedback, lag, lag, lag. It's too buggy, this and that. When Pokemon Plays puts their name behind something in the Pokemon company, they're going to invest and make sure it works. So I expect to see a rapid improvement in GBL quality over time. Sorry.
Yeah.
I got off my soapbox now.
No, I agree. Plus, you know, if everyone's on the same, using the same device, on the same network, all of that stuff, it also limits the, oh, well, my touch screen isn't as good as theirs, so that's why I lost, or, oh, you know, I accidentally, you know, swiped over into another app or something like that. Like, whatever someone can think of to kind of, you know, say that that's the reason they lost. Like, this just kind of puts everyone in the same thing. I hope they don't use iPhones because unless they're using like the new one, because the frame drops are terrible on the older iPhones opposed to like the Androids. So I know the new ones are supposed to have like 120 megahertz refresh, but I used my wife's 12 Pro Max, like the big one. And it looked like I was playing the game in slow motion. Like I just couldn't do it.
So what they ended up doing last time when they had it at Worlds, they did a small invitational tournament. I don't know if you guys watched it. They had like King there and who else? There was King.
Pokey AK
was there. And Trainer Tips actually did the shoutcasting and things for it. They actually had them playing on tablets that were faceted into a stand. So you don't even get to hold the device. Now they could change that rule because these bigger tournaments will have more devices, but they were physical tablets into a stand where all you could do is touch.
I was going to say, because I remember seeing that. I don't know if you guys actually saw it live or not, but if I recall correctly, I remember there was actually a little bit of lag and they had to do rematches a couple times, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. So it shows you that they're willing to account and know that there's a problem. And if they believe it affects the match, they'll rematch that match.
Yeah. So
just like in a Sylph tournament.
Yeah. So I think everything will be fair. And I also like the fact that they're doing like by age division in this. So then it'll be fair. You know, anyone that's 16 years or older, they're going to be in the Masters division. So basically I kind of like that, you know, it'll be fair. Like I think, you guys mentioned it earlier, you know, they want to even out the playing field. So, you know, you get phones, you get the Wi-Fi there. You're playing basically with people that are at the same level as you. So I think it's going to be great.
And this comes with real prizes, actual prizes for competing. So this isn't like when you're doing Sylph and you're competing for glory. They give out special merch. They give out cash prizes for Worlds. I mean, it's legitimate competition.
So what you're saying is that I gotta really try now.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah, maybe
he's
more
like,
than you already do.
I was, I'm not gonna lie to you. I was actually like pushing aside like some, you know, technical things I wanted to learn more about improving my gameplay, but I guess now I have to do it. Yeah, so
now you have to. You may have to actually start also competing in some of these metas just in case they start throwing that in there. Because, well, I mean, look at what they're doing with the Twitch. What is it? The Twitch Rivals. Have you seen that came out too?
Yeah, I think that came out literally the same, like a couple of days too after we did the.
Yeah. So they're doing, they partnered with Samsung to do, it's called Twitch Rivals Mobile Showdown. It's going to be on Wednesday, October 13th. So the day this comes out at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard, Pacific Time, I think, yep. And it says to watch high-profile streamers team up and duke it out in a catch-and-battle event for prizes. In this format, trainers will battle with Pokemon they catch during the event. I think that's awesome.
It is awesome, but Niantic is directly partnering for this. And you left out something specific in the rules of the event.
And that is?
New accounts. They will all be given brand new accounts and can only use the things and dust acquired on a new account. So Niantic is directly partnering to break their own TOS.
I think it's still good. I still think it's awesome.
When I was looking at it too, I'm wondering, well, do you think that they're going to basically delete that account after, you know, or they take it away after they make it or end, you know, whatever they're doing with this showdown? Or do you think they're going to get to keep it?
I don't see a reason they're going to want to keep it. Most of these guys, I was going to say that.
But it's still ironic. I mean, at that moment where they're doing the showdown, technically, yes, they're going to have two accounts, which you're not supposed to do. So that's interesting and funny that we mentioned. I think a couple of people mentioned it too. So,
yeah, I want to know what this unique gameplay settings is, because it says a brand new account with unique gameplay settings.
Maybe they're just trying to like make it sound fancy, but not really.
Well, what I want to know is, are they going to change? Like, are they going to push like an increase of spawns where each of these, where they're, you know, these teams are located so that they have more? Because like if I had a team in my neighborhood, like we'd be catching like four Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm assuming the unique part is it's going to be almost like a ticketed event kind of thing where they get a special set of spawns.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Yeah. I would be interested to see what those, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to put it on and watch it. Probably, I'll probably still be at work at this point, but, have it on just to see, cause I'm interested to see what A, they're going to catch in an hour, and do they have to power it up in an hour?
Yeah. That everything has to be, you have to get your team ready inside the hour.
Have you
watched a few Twitch streamers do this actually? It's really fun to watch.
I saw it too. What I'm wondering though is, so I don't know if I missed it, but reading real quick on the blog, are they all going to be in the same location doing this, or is it like separate, like at their own, you know, home or park?
It doesn't say, and it doesn't actually list who the streamers are that's going to be part of it. So I think some of this is still left to be determined.
Yeah, which is crazy. You know, we're still 2 days away. So that's why I'm like confused. Like, I'd be dope if they all, you know, kind of like start out in the same spot and then like spread out and then do their thing. But I guess I don't think they'll fly them out. Maybe they do. Mm. I don't know.
No, I know we've got a few up in North Florida. Streamers like Speedius is there. I think Jangles moved down here. I think he's now in Florida.
I have no idea. Probably actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I did see his name earlier.
So I think there's probably like maybe three or four streamers like all like in like, I think like the Tampa area. So maybe Florida will be represented.
Hopefully.
Probably Florida, like California and New York are probably like the three states that have like the most streamers in like one area.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine pulling Dino from Miami and then like DeFi in Wisconsin and Wildcat in Kentucky and being like, hey, you guys got to make a team.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy. I guess
we'll see.
You'd have a hair cross though. I think that's pretty cool. I like that. I'll be watching it. So that's going to be on Twitch. I don't see, I guess it's going to be on the Pokemon.
Twitch Rivals is an actual Twitch channel.
Okay. There you go. Twitch, Rivals channel. So, I'll put the link to this blog. And I believe there's a link for the Twitch Rivals stream in that blog. So, yeah, that'll be pretty cool. I like, for us, especially for our podcast, this push of PvP and going esports and stuff. And who knows, maybe we'll have to expand the show a little more to incorporate some of these esports people in there and maybe talk to some of my connections and see if we can get some of them on here.
Definitely.
Yeah. So like we said, throughout the show, we got the Halloween event that came out, and boy, is there a lot.
There I'm going to go get a cup of coffee and let you read all this. Cause
no, we're not. So I'm not going to go through like the blog post word for word. We'll just kind of go through the bullet points of it because there's just so much. So it's going to start on the 15th, which is what, Friday? Yep, Friday at 10 a.m. local time. And that'll run through the 31st, 8 p.m. local time. There's going to be a new part of your season of Mischief Research. Also, this is when the Halloween Cup is going to start. We're going to have special time to research. It's called What Lies Beneath the Mask. So I'm assuming that's one of the masks. Is it Galarian, probably?
That's my guess.
Okay. Yeah, because I know you've got the other one in field in your box 7 day research. And then we're going to have an increase of my favorite types, probably tons of ghost, dark type Pokemon. I would assume dark normally. It's normally, I think, dark and
they ghost. Normally do dark and ghost, but they specifically only call out ghost this year. So I don't know.
Ooh, that'll be a lot of fun. Now, this part here, is this, I'm going to read it. It's a 2x transfer candy, 2x catch candy, 2x hatch candy, and guaranteed XL when walking with your buddy. Is that through the whole event?
That's the whole event. So A through J here on our wonderful show notes section, it's the entire event.
Okay. So all of you who are trying to XL Pokemon, like if you have that one Pokemon that you need your XL candy, get him in there and get walking.
It's the time.
This is it. This is your time.
Especially if it's a 1 kilometer buddy, something like a Buneary. This is a great time to really grind out Buneary XL.
Yeah, that's a good one. The thing I like is they're bringing back like what they did for Kanto event and for Go Fest. We're going to have Lavender Town's music playing in the game throughout this event, which I will turn the music on for probably about a half an hour of playing, and then I'll turn it back off and turn it on and off. But Lavender Town's music is probably, like, in my opinion, one of the best soundtracks in all of the games.
Yeah, definitely like nostalgia. Whenever they first put that music back into Pogo, like, it was just, I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes it worth, you know, unmuting it. We've got costume Pokemon. We've got a mischief Pikachu. If it's the Pikachu with the witch hat, like, I'm going to just lose my mind. Did they put it out?
Yes, it's out in the actual blog.
Oh, okay. Can you explain what it looks like to everybody?
2 seconds. The best.
So there's
it mischief. Is a hat.
Okay. It's a hat, of course.
Go ahead. Keep reading the other file. Okay. I'll pull it up.
So we've got mischief Pikachu, Piplup, and Drifblim. I know the Drifblim from what I saw in our general, does it have a bow tie? Or it's like, yeah, it's like a dapper looking.
No, it's just a dapper looking hat. It's mischievous. Pikachu has a bow tie that's striped and a dapper looking hat. Piplup has a, looks like a pumpkin hat, maybe.
Okay.
And then mischievous Drifblim has the same hat. It looks like it's Pikachu, or a very similar hat to Pikachu.
Okay. Are they, oh man, you know what I miss? The, was it last year? The Charmander with the Cubone skull.
Yeah, that was adorable.
The full body costume.
Yeah, that was my favorite. I'll probably make my Mimikyu Pikachu, my shiny Mimikyu Pikachu, my buddy for like one day just to show it off. Because it's time to dress up and go out. We've got new avatar items that are coming out and a new box. Now, from what I see, they are wrapping up, from what it looks like, they're just changing the names.
They're changing the names and they're drastically increasing the amount of stuff in them. So your value is significantly higher than the boxes are currently.
Yeah. So your creepy crate, which would be your 480 coin box, you're going to get 50 Pokeballs, 1 remote raid pass, 2 super incubators, and 4 incense. Your Boo bundle, which would be, I think, adventure. That's the 1,480. You've got 16 premium raid passes, 8 super incubators, 4 incense, and 4 star pieces. And the one that I'll probably purchase, which is the pumpkin pack, same for 1480. So that would be what's that one called normally? It's like adventure and then whatever that last one is.
Exploration or something, I think.
Yeah, something like that. That's going to have 18 super incubators, 2 regular incubators, 4 incense, and 4 star piece. Yeah. That's
really probably
where to go. Especially with the 2x hatch candy and your Galarian form still being in your buddy eggs, or your friend, the little yellow and pink eggs. If you're trying to XL like a Galarian Stunfisk, it's a good time to start hatching those eggs there too. So we've got that. And then finally, he has made his slow journey.
Where's the rim shot, please?
So they teased it back when they first came out with the Galarian Slowbro and Slowpoke, that Galarian Slowking was going to take its time basically getting here. And it's here finally. And this thing is awesome. And I can't wait. I have one ready to go for it. And it looks awesome. And from what I remember, it's a very, I believe it's an Ultra League. It's like pretty viable in Ultra League.
Yeah, it's decent. It's not going to completely reshift the meta. If you're looking in Great League, you're probably looking at more of a specialty cup. Ultra, it's about 50-50 win-loss ratio. So it's nothing that's going to be groundbreaking. But it just looks so cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool looking one. And it's what, Psychic Poison? So that's an interesting combination there.
Yeah, very interesting typing, very interesting design. It's a confusion user with very high energy moves is the problem. So its moves are Future Sight and Shadow Ball.
Ooh.
So you're talking.
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough with confusion. If it was like Poison Jab or something like that, maybe, you know, it'd be a little better. So it looks like what they're going to do is they're going to split this event up into two parts. So our first part is going to start on the 15th and run through the 22nd. And this is called the Creepy Companions. So this is where you're going to get a new part of your Seasons of Mischief research. It'll be a new part. Your wild spawns are going to be Pikachu, Zubat, Drowsy, Ghastly, Misdreavus, Shupit, there you go, Piplup, Stunky, Woobat, Gothita, and if you're lucky, Yamask, and my favorite bug, Spinarak, will be there, and its shiny will be making a debut.
And you're definitely going to be building one because you know you love it that much.
Love it. I love it. I can't wait to have a shiny Aerodos.
What I love is they're not saying it's a, if you're lucky, you'll get to see a Spinarak. So I expect Spinarak to be at least moderately common in the wild, which is great because typically the last few shinies that's gotten released, they've made so rare in the wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the one that I sent? Oh, the shiny Galarian Meowth that I hatched. And I was like, when the fuck did this happen? Like, I sent it to you guys. I was like, is this a mistake? Like, I thought my game broke or something.
He just wanted to rub it in what he did. He knew exactly how it came.
I didn't know.
100%.
I totally forgot that was even a thing. There's a lot of good stuff. So Zubat for your Golbat, Drowsy for your Hypno, Ghastly for your Gengars and Haunters, Piplup for Empoleon. And then I think Spinarak for Aerodos, that's a given.
Of course,
everyone should know that one. Now, what about the other ones? What about Misdreavus and Shupit?
Misdreavus and Shupit.
There you go.
You knew I was waiting for that.
I was waiting for that.
You guys should just leave it. Just leave it as what it's not pronounced.
They're neither one really relevant.
No?
No.
None.
No. Not, man, because I have like a rank one, what is it, Bayonet?
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, we always go back to this, you know, what if, you know. Because remember, what was that one Pokemon that you had, like, 100% on that's just, like, so random that I was just like, when the heck did you get 100%? I completely forgot which one it was. But
was it Wailord?
I think maybe it was just random. I'm like, why do you even have that? And I think I was just like, you're ready, you know, you're ready whenever that drops for a good move. So yeah. Same thing with this one. I feel like Bennett is what is it? Has Shadow Claw for the fast move, right? But it has just really high high energy charge moves like Shadow Ball and I forget the other one that it has. But I think some people use it with Purified to have a return, I believe, for that one as well.
Shadow Ball and Thunder and Dazzling Gleam. So it's three really high energy moves. Yeah, that's really high.
Yeah, so maybe it gets a community at some point where, you know, it gets a better move. And then that actually may be relevant at that point. So just don't evolve it.
Yeah, just hang on to it. Get a good one and hang on to it. In our tier one or one star raids, we've got Galarian Slowpoke, Murkrow, Scraggy, Yamask, and Esper. In the three stars, we've got Alolan Raichu, Sableye, Bennett, and Drifblim. So looks like all of our favorite Pokemon are coming out to play. We got Sableye, Ferdinho there.
Need that candy for the XL.
Yep. And then in five star raids, probably one of my favorite legendaries. It's legendary, right? Yeah, legendary.
Yes.
Giratina, four legs. Altered form, Giratina. Love this thing. I have the shiny of the flying one, the snake one, the no legs origin.
No legs. Yeah.
I want the shiny with the legs.
This is a perfect time too to also for especially me and Astro, because I'm pretty sure Wildcat has this for like Master League. This is a good no you don't? Okay. Well, for whoever does not like Master League, I would recommend you to try to, you know, use your free passes on this. Cause I always like, you know, I don't really use it that much, so I might as well use it on this, especially.
So keep in mind, Giratina Altered is an Ultra League Pokemon, but the same candy applies to Giratina Origin.
Yeah, exactly.
For Master League.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're it's a win-win because you can get a really top level Ultra League Pokemon while grinding candy for your top level Master League Pokemon at the same time. It's
exactly
perfect.
So I did this the last time with Lickitung and said, if you get a Lickitung raid and I'm online, send it to me. And it worked. So if I'm online and there's a Scraggy or a Giratina, send it to me and I will join.
Yeah, there's actually a few of them there that I want to do, like Galarian Slowpoke, Scraggy, Alolan Raichu, even Drifblim for Ultra League. So there's a few of them now. And I can't even decide now. Before, it's like not even one that I want to do. Now there's like five.
Yeah.
Yeah. So PvP relevant Pokemon you're looking at. Galarian Slowpoke, sort of, a little bit, but not really. Scraggy, Yamask, especially if you want to do an XL Cofagrigus, because it is a really good XL Great League or Ultra League Pokemon. Alolan Raichu's good. Sableye's good. Drifblim's good. Altered Giratina's good. And in your Mega, your Gengar is good. Across the board, this is probably one of the best PvP relevant raid lists we've had in probably at least 2 months.
Yeah, for real. I like it a lot. We forgot our boy Murkrow. Why are we all? Why are we shitting on the bird?
Because it shits on us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's a better bird now.
Yeah. Now it lost its spot, man. Like the that sucks. I feel bad for it.
Yeah. I mean, like, Hunchcrow. I mean, you can if you want.
It's to. A
I
cheaper know you, version.
You'll definitely see people trying to, you know, grind for it too. You never know. Maybe you see a Murkrow and you just want to use your pass. So you never know. But I mean, personally, I wouldn't like go for it. But
no.
Yeah.
It could be shiny at a 1 in 512 rate. So if you want to spend $500 on a shiny Murkrow.
Oh, no. I have like three. So I'm good with that. It's cool. I like the little pink, the pink bird. It's fun. So 7K eggs. Oh, okay. So they're changing up the 7K egg pool.
So my previous thing about the Galarians is null and void, but you'll get Spinarak, Mysterious. There you go. if you guys can see it, Dino's just laughing.
He's laughing so hard. I keep waiting just for the moment where Wildcat just corrects him.
Shuppet. There you go. It's Shuppet, like Muppet, but Shuppet. There you go.
Exactly. Okay.
Got it. All right. Chingling-a-ding. There you go. Litwick. Every time I see Chingling, I think of a rapper.
Interesting. I would have never even thought about that.
We got to be PC. We're going rapper. Litwick, and then rare is going to be Galarian Yamask and Gullet.
I appreciated they actually showed you the rarity in the blog post.
Yeah,
so that's awesome. You didn't have to wait to get these 7K eggs. You immediately could see that Gullet and Yamask were going to be a rare side of the 7K. However, Gullet is not greatly eligible out of an egg.
No, you would have to
trade it down.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they're in the wild at least rarely because more ghosts, because I really want a great league Gullet.
Yeah.
Go lurk.
Yeah. Especially going up against a couple of them in this cup. It does work. It does what it needs to do. And then research, it's going to have pretty much everything that's up there. And then there's a research for with Driftblum and Galarian Yamask, if you can find it, which I never can find any of these good ones.
Hey, once again, at least they tell us that this is better transparency than we've had in forever. Hey, these researches are going to be rare. Good luck.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Then I don't feel like I'm like, damn, I can't find this thing. Where is it? Oh, it's rare. Okay. So now I know it's just not even a try. So that's our first part. Now the second part, if the first part wasn't cool enough, if it didn't make you excited for my favorite holiday of the year and my favorite time, this is going to do it, in my personal opinion. I think we kind of all agree on this one, like this is an exciting new group of Pokemon that are coming out. So part two will start on the 22nd of October. Is it right? It should be right after part one ends. It'll go right into part two, and it'll run through Halloween, end of Halloween. We'll get another part for our research, and then there's going to be some new Pokemon that are coming out, and I'm going to try and pronounce these. So this will be fun. Phantump.
Phantump. Yep.
Phantump. Well, there's a P at the end, so Phantump.
Yeah.
So, is it a silent P?
Think of it like stump. Fan stump.
Okay. Then. Treviant. Oh, look at that. And then Pumpkaboo and Gorgeist. And the only reason I know those is because of the cartoon. Because I think it's what is it? James's Pumpkaboo is one of, I think, James's Pokemon. So we actually were talking about this earlier today when everything got out. So there's going to be like different new features to the game mechanics to show the different sizes of the Pumpkaboo, because I guess there's a whole bunch of different sizes.
Four different sizes. There's small, average, large, and super sized.
Hmm. Okay. Does that change stats at all? Or is it just a look thing?
It's just a look thing.
Okay. So it's just a look thing. There's going to be a new collection challenge now. From what I see, Pumpkaboo is the only one that's going to be in the wild. or both of them. Oh, Phantom. Okay. So Phantom and Pumpkin Boo will both be in the wild. It doesn't say that they're going to be rare.
It specifically actually calls out that the large and supersize will be rare.
Okay.
So
I wonder what the supersize one's going to look like.
Yeah. The small and average will be just in the wild. And then your large and supersize will be rare.
Okay. And then it says, if you're lucky, Haunter, Yamask, Litwick, large and supersize Pumpkaboo will be in the wild.
You also get Purloin. I think you missed over Purloin there. So you're getting some flip.
I didn't miss Purloin.
You just don't care about Purloin,
basically. No.
What is it? Liepard?
Liepard.
What moves does that have, Wildcat?
2 seconds and I can tell you.
Oh, no. It's got to be off the top of your head.
Snarl, Dark Pulse, Playruff.
Yeah, I knew it was...
It's got some moves. It just doesn't have any wins.
Yeah, at all.
We talk about glassy Pokemon all the time. Its defense is 89.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's like Little Cup defense.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no good. So obviously with new Pokemon, we got new stats and new moves. We're going to talk about that. So let me just blow through everything else that's in here. Raids, tier one, Murkrow, Galarian Yamask, regular Yamask, Phantom, and average size Pumpkaboo. Tier three, Alolan Marowak, Lampet, Banette, and Drifblim. 3-star, no longer Giratina altered, but we're going to have Darkrai with Sludge Bomb. Darkrai is unfortunately not really relevant, even though it's like a super, I think it's the highest attack dark Pokemon in the game right now, I think. And having it with Sludge Bomb, and then I think it has Shadow Ball too. It still doesn't do anything for it.
It is the, you think Mewtwo is glassy? You haven't seen glassy.
Huh.
It is 100%. Now, with that being said, it is not a useless Pokemon. Darkrai is the top level dark attacker for PvE. With that being said, Sludge Bomb does nothing for it, and you're simply here for a shiny mythical chase or shiny legend chase.
Okay. Yeah. And Mega Absol is going to be out. That thing is freaking cool. I love the way that thing looks.
I hate the Mega system. I'm going to do some Mega raids this time.
Yeah.
I was going to say that it looks cool, but I feel like since we're not really like using it like in PvP or anything really, like it just like discourages people, but I mean, just to have it, I mean, imagine seeing like a shiny version of the Mega Absol. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Your 7K eggs are, I believe everything is the same. No, Spinarak, Misturvius, Shuppet, Litwick, Phantom, and rare Galarian Yamask and Gullet. So I think the only difference, what, they switched one of them out, but
they dropped Spinarak and they flipped Yamask for Galarian and both. They just dropped Spinarak and they dropped Chingling.
They got rid of the Chingling. Okay. Yeah, good. And then you're going to have research for the same things. Now, what everybody wants to know about these things is, are these Pokemon going to be worth the time and effort to hunt, get the IVs, get the candy, and evolve?
Meta bomb. That is all I can say about Trivian. It is dropping a bomb into the middle of the core meta of Great League.
It is crazy how good the move pool that it has. When Wildcat first showed me, I'm like, no way. Like, there's no way. And then he just started naming things that it would just destroy or beat. And I'm just like, okay, clearly this guy is going to be used a lot. So be like for sure, like, this is going to be in Great League or whatever cup it is. It's going to be used a lot, and you're going to see it so much.
So what are those moves, Dino?
Right. So the moves that it gets are gonna be, it has Sucker Punch and Shadow Claw, and then for the main moves, it's gonna be Seed Bomb and Shadow Ball and Foul Play. And that is just insane.
That is nasty.
And your typing is Grass Dark, right?
Ghost. Grass
Ghost. Grass Ghost.
This thing is meaner than the Kentucky Wildcats have been to the SEC this season.
Didn't.
No, this thing. We're 6-0. Let it be.
So this thing at level 40, CP caps at what, 2559, attack 201, defense 154, stamina 198. Now that's at level 40. Do we know what the stats are for when it gets in like Great League level?
You want a, from what I saw, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but for a Great League, you want a 0-15-15. Okay. And it's just, God, I mean, I'm already excited just talking about it, like how great these moves are. And I know that Wildcats has like some of the Pokemon that it would just like beat in Great League. So if he wants to go ahead.
Yeah. So looking over its win-loss ratio, first off, a rank one Trevenant with the 0-15-15 is going to have 536 wins against 172 losses. That is insane.
I don't even remember when was the last time I saw a Pokemon that does that huge of an impact, you know?
Its battle rating is 626. So you're talking, it's top tier. But that doesn't mean anything if it's not beating good Pokemon. So starting to look through what it's beating, well, there's things in here like, oh, there's Whiscash. There's Swampert. Oh, there is Galarian Stunkfist, Bastiodon, Azumarill. Your core meta just got exploded by one single Pokemon.
Wow.
Oof. Exactly. So like even like I was gonna say, like you may see a bunch of, you know, fire Pokemon or even flying, you know, like Skarmory. But even with those, like thinking about it, like if this Pokemon comes out with energy, it is going to go down fighting. It has Foul Play and Shadow Ball to hit any of those two, depending. Obviously, you want Seed Bomb. I would 100% suggest that. Now, you can either go with like a nuke move with the Shadow Ball or, you know, Foul Play, you know, depending how you want to play it. But regardless, this Pokemon, it will go down fighting no matter what it goes against.
It'll have, I mean, just from the typing, the ghost typing, it should have some play against Medicham too, right?
It beats Medicham. It beats Defense Deoxys. It beats Hypno.
That's crazy.
I mean, should we continue? Like, this list just goes on and on.
What it doesn't beat, your Galarian Stunkfist is still going to outclass it because the dark typing that it has with it. It means it's just hitting it for neutral versus hitting it super effective.
Ghost. The ghost typing?
Yeah, the ghost dark makes it neutral versus super effective.
Okay.
So Sableye still does have some play. Technically, it can beat a Sableye depending upon shield because Shadow Claw is just so spammy. You're getting to Shadow Balls so fast and Seed Bombs so fast. So it still can beat Sableye even. So you're really looking at just a large portion of the meta is getting exploded by one single Pokemon. So I think you're right. Fire is going to come back into play. So your Talonflames will become popular again. Your Altarias will become more popular. Skarmory will be super popular as it is already. That's really your counters for flyers and fire and ice. Those are the three things it has to watch out for. Dark, it's going to lose to most of the dark Pokemon out there. So any of those four things is a great counter to it, but even so, you can build around those four weaknesses pretty easily.
You know what I also like about it? You know how Nidoqueen is pretty relevant in Great League? It is not weak to it. It is neutral. So I kind of like that too. It's a grass that you can use against the Nidoqueens and any poison, I guess, but mainly Nidoqueen that I've actually seen a lot of today and really annoying. But yeah, I really like this how it's going to play out, and I feel like it's going to change up the meta for sure.
And it's going to pick up the win against a non-Shadow Needle Queen.
I'm already sold. Like, you don't need to keep telling me all these things.
So how I like to judge some of these ghost Pokemon is because the ghost typing has it's a good typing to add to things because it really doesn't have like a ton of weaknesses. And it's, you know, especially when your top of the meta is Medichan, you know, a fighter, or you got Defense Deoxys that's got, you know, that's a psychic, it's got fighting moves. The ghost really helps. But how well does this thing match up against other ghost Pokemon? Because ghost is weak to ghost, correct?
Right, yeah. So it really depends, you know, like if you're going against a Sableye, Wildcat was mentioning. If you go, I to be honest, like I feel like if you go Shadow Ball, you probably will lose because it's a higher nuke move. It just depends, you know, who has the most energy, basically, or that higher, or who has a lead in energy. I feel like for the most part, I think it'll be decent, if not good, versus most ghosts. You know, or give you an example, you know, Wildcat's favorite Pokemon, the Murder Balloon. We were actually talking about it, and he just said "rip." You know, so I'm sure he has more knowledge of which ones he would just beat.
Yeah, so it goes from pretty much only, you know, a standard ghost is going to be about a 50-50 coin flip against most other ghosts. So if we look at the common ghost, so I'm considering this the Drift family, Jellicent, Cofagrigus, Sableye, Haunter, Gengar. Those are your common ghost in the meta today.
Yeah,
Haunter. Battle rating wise, it loses to two.
And which two is it? Sableye, I'm assuming?
Shadow Sableye, not the one that's actually prevalent, and Gengar.
I was going to ask. Wait, in Great League? Or?
In Great League.
Okay.
Hmm. So that's crazy.
It is a monster. And I honestly wonder if before it gets released on Friday, if they don't nerf it somehow by taking away Seed Bomb or Shadow Claw. Because that's the only way that you can really change how much of a monster this thing is.
No,
they're going to keep it. I mean, think about it. Like, out of all the Pokemon that you mainly see in the Great League, which ones, like, do you feel like, do you ever see a Haunter or a Drifblim, like, in every single team? Like, to me, like, I see more, I want to say, Sableye is the only ghost that I see, like, the most of. So in comparison, like, I kind of like that there's another ghost apart from Sableye that's going to be used now.
Jelly's pretty common right now, too. Jellicent is fairly common.
I feel like with Jelly, I feel like any ghost that had Hex, basically, are just going to, it's going to, like, lower the use of it when this Pokemon comes out.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I may actually build one and retire my Drifblim. It's that game-changing.
Wow.
Blame him.
You heard it first. You heard it here first. So is this Pokemon just relevant for Great League, or do you see it having play in Ultra too?
I think I would like to use it as well for this in Ultra League, because I kind of compare it to a Shiftry, just because they both look kind of like mean. So I guess that's why you probably thought it was like a dark grass as well.
Yeah.
I think it has some play in Ultra League. I don't, and I think Wildcat disagrees, but I think it'll be fun. I'm still going to probably build one. So maybe he has a better insight of this.
So what types dominate Ultra League right now?
Dark.
What is this going to lose to every single one of?
I mean, definitely get destroyed by Umbreon, but
it's going to lose to every single dark Typhlosion's Pokemon.
Typhlosion's going to eat it alive.
Typhlosion eats it alive. It actually has a pretty terrible win rate. You know, we talked about 500 plus wins in Great League, 107 in Ultra League level 40. So, you know, your classic Ultra League 50, 112.
Hmm.
It drops and the reason behind that is the meta in Ultra League is so dark heavy now and so poison heavy and fairy heavy that this is going to lose to most of those things. I still think it has play, but you're going to have to really build a team around it to cover its weaknesses. So putting it with something like a Shadow Machamp gives it a lot more play, because then you have something. I'd actually probably even put it a Shadow Machamp and a Fairy Whip.
I was literally going to say that too. I feel like that's the best way of a coverage for it. And you're definitely going to see people try it out. You know, you always see, I sent you guys that video earlier of that spicy pick. The people are going to do it. And I feel like that's kind of why I want to be one of those people to do it too. And whenever there's a new Pokemon, I feel like a lot of people just kind of don't realize or don't expect it. Like, you know, whenever you see like a Hypno in Ultra League, you're just like, whoa. Like, it just throws you off. And or if you ever see like any Pokemon that's just like random. So like this one would probably be one. Like you mentioned, I don't think it'll be that, you know, common at all how it would be in Great League, but I don't know. I kind of want to try it in Ultra League.
But yeah. Can it be outdone? So I've been drooling over Trivian. We haven't even talked about the other ghost
grass. That's what I was going to say. We have another
yes
ghost type Pokemon that is coming out along with it, and that is the evolved form of Punkaboo and Gorgeist. I like this one too. I mean, I like all the ghosts.
You like anything ghost? I like anything all
the ghosts, the ghosts and dark Pokemon. But I like the move set that this has. So your fast moves, you got Razor Leaf and Hex. And then your charge moves, Seed Bomb, Shadow Ball, Fire Blast, and Foul Play. So it's very similar to Trevenant in the charge move section. But I like the fact that it has Razor Leaf as like a different change of pace for your fast moves. Not to mention that we've got at level 40, CP 2390, attack 175, defense 213, stamina 163. So it's got some bulk to it too. Dino, have you looked at this?
Yes, I actually was looking into it, and I actually you're going to have people do this. When we were mentioning Trevenant that it's weak to fire, and this Pokemon has Fire Blast and it has Hex. So, I mean, you're going to have like those people that are just going to be like a random. I think who was it? I think some people had ran Fire Blast on Alolan Marowak before. So, I kind of see it like that with this Pokemon. And if there's bulk to it, I mean, I don't see why not. And that would be fun. I mean, like, it would just throw you. I'm like, oh, yeah, let me not shield this on my Trevenant and then just get Fire Blast. So I think it's fun. It's nice to have coverage as well for any like Skarmories. So I think it'll be fun. If you want to use this, obviously for Great League, you want to try to get one that's 0-12-15. And I think I'm really excited for these new Pokemon. You know, we need a different pace, you know, and I like that it's two ghost Pokemon.
Are they both ghost grass?
Yes,
they're okay. Both, yeah, that's why I kind of like it even more.
I like that,
yeah, right.
And once again, this thing is also over 500 wins, 512 wins in the Great League,
dude. That's insane. What percentage is it at?
72% win rate.
So that's what and Trevenant was, I believe, 74.
Yeah, 74%. So this thing is not that much further behind. It is picking up a couple of losses that Trevenant gives. So it loses to Bastiodon, for example, whereas Trevenant is able to beat it because Shadow Claw is just so much faster on energy gains. But it's still, it's just monstrous. So if you can't get Trevenant, get a Gorgeist.
Is the attack stat high enough to make Razor Leaf like the preferred move? Like if you wanted to pick up that win against like a Bastiodon, is its attack stat high enough that Razor Leaf is going to like shred it?
No, unfortunately, its attack stat in the Great League is only at 114. So you're not anywhere near that victory bell stat where you're looking.
Yeah.
It actually takes it. If you move from Hex down to Razor Leaf, all the way down to 300 wins. Oof. So it's a pretty rough move. But Daniel, something you had mentioned talking about Little Cup, Punkaboo. Tell us about Punkaboo and Little Cup.
All right. Yeah. So we actually were very surprised, and I was very happy that, you know, since we noticed that obviously little cups are going to be relevant and they're here to stay. And yeah, actually Artemis was actually mentioning that it's, you know, something that everyone needs to sort of take serious, you know?
Yeah.
I was actually playing Little Cup, and I mentioned to a couple of people that I actually kind of felt like this time around with the Jungle Cup, it felt like it was kind of like a mini Great League, because I felt like it wasn't rock, paper, scissors as to what people thought it was. You know, the first ever Little Cup, I can 100% agree it was, you know, rock, paper, scissors. But this one, I felt like it took some slight strategy, and even though like everything was very fast paced, but you still need a strategy. So this Pokemon has, for the fast moves, Astonish and Razor Leaf. And then for the charge moves, which completely threw me off, it has Earthquake, Foul Play, Grass Knot, and Shadow Sneak. And I don't know what you guys think, but I think like these Pokemon are just amazing moves, and I'm really excited.
That's insane. That's intense. That
you either know what to say.
I don't even know what to say. Like, it's about time. About time we had some ghosts with some bulk and some attack stat there.
I think,
too.
I think we did a quick analysis of what if it was in the Jungle Cup right now, of how it would destroy, I believe,
Well, against the entire little league. So anything 500 less, it's 600 wins, 64% win rate. Now, keep in mind, a lot of that's coming against water, is coming against rock, which in every little cup so far, Mud Boys have played a huge role in it. Ducklett has played a huge role in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's still going to lose out to Cottonee, which is always a problem. So you still have to plan for a Cottonee counter, but it's actually a really solid little league Pokemon. So get that Pumpkaboo, keep it around, get that Gourgeist, get that Trevenant. They're all got play right now. This is probably the best PvP release of Pokemon we've had in a long time.
See, this is why my birthday month is the best. So
they don't do anything like this during November. So, but this is my favorite. This is why, again, this is why my favorite time of the year in this game is Halloween. I feel like they outdo themselves during Halloween, and it just every year, like, they make up for like all the shit that they done earlier.
Well, it was the first ever event too. If you remember back 2016, Halloween was the first time they ever done an event. I just remember walking out, seeing ghost Pokemon everywhere, and I started catching stuff going, wait, I'm getting triple startup. I'm getting triple can't. What is going on here?
And triple everything.
Wait, didn't they broke it, right?
Yeah.
They forgot to like turn something off or turn something. It was like a ridiculous amount of stuff.
And I feel like they've actually lived up to that initial hype of the Halloween event every single year. Yes, we don't get the Stardust like we used to for Halloween, but it's still a Candy Palooza. They still release really good Pokemon. It's still a fun event. It's just good.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm very, very excited. And I'm also very excited that we've got Great League back, because I'm so done with the little Jungle Cup. I'm just ready to move on and move on with my life. and just wait for Friday for the Halloween Cup, because that's my cup there. I love that thing. So let's move over to our GBL section and let's talk about some of these things.
Fight.
All right. So, with the Halloween event, we've got the Halloween Cup starting on Friday. So it didn't start today. It starts on Friday and it runs through the 1st of November.
Correct.
And it's also during do we have a GBL night?
Yep. The next GBL night will be during Halloween Cup.
There we go. So
We've got Great League back. I haven't done any sets today, but I know Dino's done some, I think, in Great League, and Wildcat did. Have you seen, does it seem still pretty standard from what it was at the beginning of the season?
Yep.
Like coming into the second half? Okay.
Yep. Same stuff I've seen before.
Exactly the same. And though I did see a Malamar today, and that thing is nasty.
Yo, it's funny because we completely forget when it first came out, or when, I don't know if what it was exactly, but there was a few of them, running around. And I remember the moves back then. All I remember from it is that it has superpower, but that's all I remember. I think it may have foul play as well.
Foul play and Psycho Cut. So
Psycho
it's
Cut,
just
so,
building up energy so fast.
Yeah, see, like that would have thrown me off. I wouldn't even know what to do. I completely forgot. And I have Bastion as a lead, so I probably would have like took a superpower and not even like shielded.
Superpower to the face.
They paired it with a Sableye, so my team was done immediately because Sableye's already hard enough on me, so it wasn't a good time.
Oh, man. Yeah, so first set that I did and back in Great League 4-1, so yay. Hopefully I can get a little bit before it turns 12, but yeah, so far I'm happy that it's back. Hopefully I can get legend, doing that. I will not be doing Halloween Cup, so yeah, no, I mean, if I will do it if I turn legend, but until then, no.
I don't blame you. If you don't hit legend before then, yeah, I don't blame you at all. So since Great League is kind of pretty much stagnant, it's still where it is. For some of our newer players, I know we've got a lot of new people that have joined the Discord that this is their first season doing GBL. So they may not understand the meta as well as we do. So to us, saying it's the general, Great League stuff makes sense to us and some of, the people who've been playing for a long time. But for those newer people, what is your basic Great League meta look like?
So for me, at least from what I've seen today, you definitely see a lot of Azumarils. I'll tell you that much. I actually saw an increase for some reason. I don't actually recall exactly what it was. Nidoqueen, everyone knows that Nidoqueen, after it got its buff, it was pretty much standard to the meta in Great League. But I saw a bunch of, I forget the lead, but I think it was maybe Sableye as a lead and then double poison. And then just like, I'm like, what is going on? So I would say that Nidoqueen for sure, along with Azu, and for sure you see a lot of Alolan Ninetales, and G-Fisk, which is Galarian Stunfisk, and of course Medicham. At least those are the main ones that I see the most of. And
don't forget Bastiodon. Bastiodon's there right at the top with all those other nasty things.
So at least from the two sets that I did, I only seen one Bastiodon. But definitely it is very annoying if you do see an XL Bastiodon. It's just, man, even for me, and then you see Astro that freaking has one now. I'm so jealous.
I'm like 10 candy away from it being like fully like maxed out.
Yeah.
So it's like right there.
And then, yeah. And then like another one I would just add is Sableye. Sableye is another one that I've seen at least 4 of in 10 battles. So those are the main ones I see. Maybe for you guys, it may be different. I know in like lower tier, people like to use like random Pokemon, but for the most part, those are, I feel like, the standard metas between like 2,500 to like 3,000.
Yeah, I would add Swampert and Skarmory into that list as well. I've seen a lot more Swampert today than I ever have before, actually.
Yes, I actually seen 3. So 3 in 10 battles. So that's still a good amount. So those are the main ones that we see. I know it can vary for different people, but if you build like a team around that, maybe get familiar with that, at least those meta ones, and then get yourself up to like a higher elo with that. Don't feel guilty for using a XL Bassy. Then I know that Asher doesn't, but I mean, I would definitely use it.
He's a bad person.
He's a bad person.
No.
But yeah, so I mean, I don't know, for you, Asher, what do you think is relevant, at least that you see the most of?
Yeah. So I was going to say, before I get into that, what's good about, you know, us three here is we are pretty much in the three different elo tiers. Like, I'm in the rank 20 to ace tier. Wildcat's in the, what is it, 22?
Veteran expert area.
Yeah, like 25. And then you've got Dino, who's up higher. Now, with those, there is also meta changes between those ranges. So just because Dino's seeing a lot of Medichan, this, that isn't, doesn't mean Wildcat seeing the same thing. Doesn't mean I'm seeing the same thing.
As he uses his XL Medichan.
I don't have an XL Medichan.
That would be awesome. It's annoying. It's really annoying, though.
No, Pachirisu will be making its appearance this week.
Wait, what was that?
My Pachirisu.
Oh,
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I finally, after all the walking, it's almost done. I see a lot of Azumarill, Stumpfisk, Galarian Stumpfisk, and not surprisingly, Swampert is everywhere in my area. Like, Swampert is king in that rank 20 ace elo. I don't see a lot of like your defense Deoxys. Occasionally it'll pop up every once in a while. Abomasnow, I see a ton of Abomasnow, which I think people forget about that thing is still around until it pops up and then just wipes you out. and Mandibuzz. I've seen a lot of Mandibuzz in there.
Yeah, actually, no, I forgot about that one. I think I've seen maybe two of them today.
Yeah,
I've seen three, and I just laugh because I've seen Amanda Buzz, Azumarill, Skarmory team today. I'm running Lantern in the back.
Ooh,
it was fun. It was real fun.
Yeah, not even with those three, they probably can take it down.
They can, but with Drifloom in the lead, throwing Icy Winds and Medicham being able to hit all but Azumarill at least neutral. It was.
I can literally see you like tapping and laughing as you like throw those sparks.
So here's a question I've got. So I want just one Pokemon from each of us. For someone who just started, this is their first season, they more than likely don't have the candy or whatever for an XL like Medichan or Bastion or any of those. Like beginner pack, like the one Pokemon in your, like that you would say to someone who is just starting, may not have all these, the one Pokemon that they should have on their team. So let's start with Wildcat.
I would say Mandibuzz, actually. It has a huge amount of bulk and actually is a really good counter to a decent amount of the core meta.
Yeah. And it's accessible in, you can get them in your 7K eggs, right?
12K eggs. They're in the 12K. They're in the 12K, but they're common in the 12K eggs. And even with egg IVs, so non-PvP relevant IVs, Mandibuzz is still really good. So mine was a day one hatch, my Mandibuzz that I built. And I literally built it through Rare Candy and immediately and had it ready to go within about 2 hours of it being released. And it's still the one I'm rocking with. It's still that good.
Yeah. How about you, Dino? What's your one Pokemon?
I mean, I feel like it's obvious, right? Like, I don't know. You probably think it's Sableye.
No, I know what it is, but go.
It starts with an S as well. let's be honest. Like, it's just like so easy to to get, and you don't need it to be XL, and it hits hard, you know. So Swampert, you know, Swampert is one that I would recommend. Very easy to get. Cheap. So that's my go-to.
I think there's one caveat there. You do have to have Hydro Cannon to make it viable.
Yep. Yeah, so make sure it has that move. I know that most people have it, so I'm sure you can find someone in the community that will trade you it.
Or if you bought a box from Community Day on Saturday, you would have gotten, I believe, was it an elite charge? Yep, it was an elite charge. That is definitely one Pokemon that you want to use that on. I think my pick would be, for easy accessibility, cheap, and still has play, is Venusaur. Because I think, especially if like you're playing off of like the Pokemon that you guys are going with, you've got Mandibuzz, you've got your Flying Dark, you've got Swampert. So Venusaur would be a nice little addition to that. It's cheap, doesn't need to be XL. It's only 10,000 Stardust for the second move. You do have to use an Elite TM to get Frenzy Plant, or if you have somebody to trade with. But it's a general Pokemon that it's kind of not as like not as much as Swampert, but it can play in your Great League. It does have play in Ultra League. So it's one of those Pokemon that normally is like always there.
Yeah, in most metas. I like that pick. And, you know, I think I seen maybe two of them today, maybe one or two. But I was going to say, like, along with how you mentioned that it could be relevant in Ultra League, Swampert is literally eligible in literally every single league. So Great League, Ultra League, Master League. Obviously, Master League, you want it 100% one or close to it. But it's just a Pokemon that you can use literally in all three leagues. And I just like Swampert for, you know, this one specifically because it can hit with Hydro Cannon, or you can use for the second move Earthquake or Sludge Wave. So you have like a good choice with the moves.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, like we said, these are all Pokemon that are very accessible. It's not like you have to wait for a special event or something like that. I mean, right now, like, you probably won't see a lot of Mudkip and you may not see a lot of Venusaur just because of the event. But for the most part, you throw on like a Glacier Lure or Mossy Lure, you're probably going to get some of those pop up. And they're cheap, so you don't have to spend a ton of your Stardust and your resources to get to it. So, you know, that's, you know, for all of our newer people that are coming in. But Friday, we've got Halloween Cup coming in. So let's get everyone ready for that. Have you guys had a chance to look over the meta that actually has changed a little bit?
It's changed some. It's still just like last year's Halloween Cup. It's going to be Azumarill heavy. But because of that,
damn right,
your Golbats, your Nidoqueens, your Beedrills, your poison users are actually going to move really high up. And that's the biggest change from last year to this year. Last year, there was nothing to answer the Azumarill. This year, because of the poison buff back in season eight poison buff, something can challenge Azumarill now. So the meta has shifted a lot from last season. You also, once again, I mentioned it earlier, Mandibuzz is pretty top dog in this meta because of the just sheer bulk it has. Really important here for this meta, make sure you're running Air Slash, because there is a lot of fairies in there potentially, and Snarl's doing nothing.
Yeah. I was going to say, on the Azumarill side, this is the meta you want to run Ice Beam over Hydro Pump. Is that Hydro Pump? Yeah. I know some people like to run Hydro Pump instead of Play Rough, I think. Is that what they switch it out?
It's 50-50. I've seen them run Hydro Pump Play Rough and Hydro Pump Ice Beam.
Yeah. But you definitely want to have your Ice Beam in there for a lot of like some of the bugs in here. You got Beedrill, Crustle, you know, some of those things. It's going to hit good against Mandibuzz. So is a Play Rough. So Azumarill and Golbat are like my core for Halloween Cup. Golbat is so spammy and surprisingly it's pretty tanky, and it keeps you on your toes with how fast it gets to Shadow Ball
Yeah, it does.
And I even find myself knowing using Golbat enough to know the counts. I still sometimes get like tripped up on whether they're gonna throw a Poison Fang or a Shadow Ball at me.
Yeah, because it's either like a bait move or a nuke move. So like if you shield a bait move, it just hurts. Just like hurts you internally. It's like, oh, how did I shield a Poison Fang?
Yeah, but even exactly. If it's bait move, you're lowering the defense. So even mm-hmm. if they shield the bait or don't shield, you're still helping yourself out long term. It is just a mean Pokemon to go against, especially yeah. in this yeah. limited meta.
And those Poison Fangs, like after that first one, even if you get hit with a second Poison Fang after the debuff, it's takes a nice little chunk out of you, especially if it's like an Azumarill or something that is going to be weak to poison. Yeah, that's why I love it. It's just, it's very versatile. You've got Nidoqueen and regular and shadow at 4 and 5, Beedrill in 6, Alolan Ninetales at 7, Wormadam Trash at 8, Mawile in 9, and then Crustle in 10. So Mawile makes the top 10. Why?
I think because it can deal super effective to all the bugs that'll be running around and yeah. all the poison running around. It is taking not effective damage from the poison. Okay. So that steel typing is really why it's there.
Yeah. So it has, according to PvPoke, so I'm going to give you its key wins. It's Mandibuzz, Alolan Ninetales, Umbreon, Frostlass, and Golbat. I know that's what the wins, what it says. I don't actually see it happening. Like, I guess it would have to.
I do.
It would have to be energy.
No, I don't think you need the energy because if you initially throw the power up punch, that Fire Fang is doing so much at that point after one power up punch. I think it wins all of those pretty easily. Actually, keep in mind it's a steel fairy type, so yeah. all of your dark is taking no damage from pretty much. You're dealing super effective against any ice type, and with Golbat is really a nuke Pokemon, which means it's classy. So yeah. I can see all those. Now, I actually think it could pick up a couple of the ones that it says it could lose as well. I
and can see it picking up
with Toxicroak, for example, with an energy lead. Now, without an energy lead, if you're even, Mud Bomb's going to come too quick, you're done.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think I see why it's here. I'm not going to waste the dust if you don't have it built already. Specifically, this is a non-shadow version.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a shadow, it's going to probably lose a lot more matches that it would have won otherwise because its defense is too low at that point.
Yeah. So you mentioned one that I always love using, but he's actually ranked pretty low, if I can even find him, is Toxicroak. It's funny that they brought him in to the key losses on Mawile. With him being ranked in like the 60s, I think he's like 66 or something like that. I feel like our boy Toxicroak has kind of like disappeared a little. Like I haven't seen him in like the top 20 in a while in anything. Is that just because there's more things to counter him, or is it just because he's glassy and can't keep up with everybody else now?
There's better poison users. Toxicroak really was there for that sludge bomb pressure because it was the only thing that could really counter fairies at that point. Now with the poison jab buff, there's so many things that come in and hit so hard against your fairies that Toxicroak just doesn't get the job done anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least for this cup, I don't see it being useful. I mean, I still use it in open Great League, but for this cup, it's just that you have many other options that you can that are a lot better than him.
Yeah. I hate seeing him so low because I love.
Well, one thing I hate seeing is, yes, Ghost is in this cup, but outside of Jellicent, there is really not a viable Ghost because Dark will be so prevalent. Ghost is going to be a really hard type to use. So you got Jellicent's pretty high up. It's number 11. Your next Ghost is all the way down at 29 with Cofagrigus. So really, in my opinion, your core meta is going to revolve around Dark, Fairy, Poison. That's your real core meta bug will throw a little bit of a wrinkle into the cycle. But those three types is what this meta is built around.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't, the rankings here on PV Poke are not factoring in Gorgeis and Trevenant, because they're coming out towards the end of this cup, correct?
Correct. And they won't have as much play in this cup because it is a limited meta with Mandibuzz and Mawile and Ninetales being so high and they're grass typing. They're going to struggle in this cup as well, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, also with the poison will hit it.
Neutral, but Golbat is a whale. I mean, yeah. it unfortunately they'll struggle a lot because of the way this meta is limited, but in an open meta, they're really good.
Yeah. I know just from previous Halloween cups, expect to see Azumarill on almost every team. Just mentally prepare yourself with a Azumarill counter, because you're probably going to see it maybe 8 times out of 10. You're going to probably see a lot of Golbat and probably more Nidoqueen than Mandibuzz.
You think so?
I think so.
I think you'll see Mandibuzz and Azumarill on every single team and then choose your poison type thereafter.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be like a core between Mandibuzz and Azu.
You could probably end up running, what, the top three? Mandibuzz, Golbat, and Azumarill?
I think so, probably.
And that's a timeout waiting to happen.
For sure. If you have an
excellent have all three, so we'll see. Yeah, maybe I'll run it.
Yeah, not playing.
No. No. I like Alolan Ninetales. I love using that thing. It's a lot of fun. And it'll help against the Mandibuzz and Golbats. So, anything else to add about this?
No. Anything else? I feel like it'll be pretty standard, you know, whatever we're seeing now. We're going to see like you guys mentioned earlier, a bunch of poisons running around and Azus and Mandibuzz. That's going to be Halloween Cup.
Yeah. So one more thing I just noticed, because speaking of when we were talking about Toxicroak and Pokemon that have kind of like slowed down in their usage, Alolan Marowak is 23 on this list. He like disappeared too. I think we talked about this on another episode that he just vanished.
I was going to say that it's not just on this cup, but also open Great League that he disappeared.
Galarian Stunkfist really hurt him a lot. Galarian Stunkfist just counters him so well. And then you add in the resurgence of Bastiodon with the XL release, and he just doesn't have a place anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah. So sad. All right. So that's Halloween Cup, and that's all of the fun news and all of that stuff. So now we are at the point of the show where we are going to read your questions and try and answer them to the best of our ability.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right. So before we get started, you can send in your questions for the show at any point during the week, either through Twitter, you can email us, or if you're in our Discord, you can drop your question in the You Want Answers section, and we'll read them and try and answer them. So let's go through this. I lost my place. Wildcat, do you have it up there? Because I lost my spot.
Review 2 on October 5th.
Do you want to go ahead and read it? Because I can't find, like, my computer just freaked out on me.
So Groovy2 asks, so with esports coming, is there any chance they introduce either items or any sort of system to affect IVs? Take the RNG out of the game a little bit. Dino?
I feel like there could be a slight chance to it, but I don't know. I feel like maybe not like immediately. Like I feel like eventually they will, but Me personally, like I said, I don't think they'll do it in, like, as it comes out, but maybe like down the road.
I'm all for it. I like the idea of items. I think it adds a lot of complexity and nuance to the main series games. As far as the effect IVs, I would love to see bottle caps, golden bottle caps, et cetera, to come to the game. But I don't think Niantic will ever do that because they love the hundo chase. They love the IV chase. That's what keeps people coming back to catch more and more things. If I could just take anything I've caught and make it perfectly ready, that removes the need for catching.
Yeah. So next question comes from Thanks Friend 673. With the announcement of tournaments, do you think players using auto catchers, alt accounts, phone swings should stop? I'm worried that tournament organizers or judges will recognize this and call players out for it. Wildcat, you liked this question, so I'm going to let you lead off.
So if you followed Pokemon Plays in the VGC specifically, you will know they don't give two craps. Historically, they've had a major issue in the VGC with people hacking in Pokemon. And even one year, someone brought into the World Championship game a impossible Pokemon in a ball that couldn't exist. They brought a starter that was in the current generation in a love ball, which is not possible. And the answer from the tournament organizers and the judges were, everyone remember to please only breed your Pokemon in Pokeballs heading forward. The competitor was not disqualified. I do not want you going out. If you go look for the depths of the way people cheat VGC, it is immense. And there is a YouTuber that I cannot stand because just the way he attacks people, but his name is Verlissify. That specifically goes through and documents all these different cheating mechanisms and things that, and calls out the players by name, and really isn't welcome on Pokemon's property anymore, if you want to put it that way. So do I think they should stop? That's up to you. That's a personal belief. I'm not going to tell anyone to play the game a certain way, but will it matter from a competitive standpoint? They don't care.
Yeah. I don't think they'll care, but also on top of that, how would you actually like really know? Like, let's just say you play, like you use it as an average person, even, you know, I don't know. Like, I just don't see them like actually checking to see. And I feel like sometimes it'd be hard to even know if somebody's actually using an auto catcher, you know, you just not bring it to the tournament and they won't even know, as well as they won't know if you have all the accounts, even phone swings. So I feel like it's really hard. Unless if you're just an idiot and you decide to use like a spoofed account and take it to the tournament, then you'll definitely get caught that way. But besides that, it's just harder, you know, to get caught with anything else.
Yeah.
And once again, we talked about it at the top of the show, or middle of the show, I guess. They are going to be providing the hardware that you're using for the actual tournament anyways. So that isn't going to play a part in the active battles, other than you'll, you know, have more XL candy, you'll have more dust, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, there was a reply here from Matthew Breaker to that question as well. The one thing that he pointed out is, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to catch, kind of like what Dino said, it's going to be kind of hard to catch certain things, from that, standpoint. But I like what he wrote here is, course, even if someone is using those, it doesn't mean that they have the skill to back up the mons in battle.
That is very true, actually. Not I actually remember seeing that. And even if you were to use whatever it is that you use, just because you use it doesn't mean that you have the skill to be the best, if I you know, to, and I feel like that really applies, and that's a really good answer too.
Yeah, exactly. You just because you have, you know, it's like in any sport, you know, I played soccer, just because you had like the best soccer cleats, that doesn't mean you're going to be the best player on the field. If you suck at soccer, you suck at soccer, regardless of what you're using. If you're not good at, you know, at battling and you don't understand the strategy, it doesn't matter what you have. Like, you could have rank one of everything and excel all your Pokemon and all of that. And you could lose to someone, you know, walking in with bad IV Pokemon and just because you can't match up with it. So, let's see. So next question here from JD Mojo Jojo, writes, how do you feel about the recent, community day? What's your thoughts on this being a, I'm going to say damp squib.
Correct.
I'm not sure what that means.
I believe that is a British phrase.
Okay. So a damp squib of a community day apart from the 3x Stardust. Honestly, feel that I should have been, it should have been a spotlight hour and not a community day. I agree in the point, in the aspect of the final evolution sucks. Like, it's the middle evolution that you want. And I think on PGR, they made the same thing that it should have been a Dusclops community day, not a Dusknoir. I don't think it was a terrible community day. I thought it was fine. It was good because there's so much new stuff and stuff going on later on in the month that adding like a new Pokemon or a Pokemon's new shiny or something like that, I think it'd just be a little too much for the month.
I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, it's pretty same. So, oh wow, I answered one. No one has rebuttal. Good. All right. next question. Village of Wolves. What is the scariest experience you've had while playing Pokemon Go? Powered up too much, transferred accidentally, accosted by a stranger while playing, etc. Yes to all except maybe the stranger part. And I've done all those part in the history of this show.
What did he mean by last part? I didn't understand it.
Having like somebody come up and bug you or like hassle you because you're on their property or something.
Oh yeah, then yes to all of them.
would you classify a police officer as a stranger? Because I've had that happen to me a couple of times.
Technically, yeah. I mean, it is a stranger. You don't know him.
I've got the, why are you driving so slow in this neighborhood?
Oh, that's bad.
That's nice. Good job.
Yep. Why are you driving so slow? And I was like, I'm catching Pokemon. And they're like, are you being serious? It's like, huh?
You're catching it's Pokemon. Like, how old are you?
But luckily, I had one of my kids in the car.
Like, there you go.
But yeah, yes, I've powered up too much. I've transferred accidentally, and I've done that all in the course of what, the past 2 months, 3 months.
Like, probably. I was gonna say the last week. Swallow it
for our draft, and then Turtwig on the last jungle or the last little cup. Yep. So yes.
Yeah, I've definitely powered up too much. I actually transferred the rank one Jumpluff by accident. Oof. That was my first time ever being featured on PGR, actually, as a mon that got away. Yeah, I was actually riding the catch of the week, and I was like, went to take the screenshot of it. I'm like, you won't believe this one. I just hit transfer by accident.
I hate that transfer button.
No, I did it. I hate it, too. There was one that I actually transferred when I was doing my basically just getting rid of anything that I caught in the day. And I forgot to favorite one of my hundo Pokemons that I caught.
Oh.
And yeah, I go back later. I'm like, all right, it's time to go start it. Let me put 100% on it. Couldn't find it. And then I'm like, I did not do this. I can't believe I did this. And yep, I transferred a 100%. I forget what it was, but I just remember that I was dreading that I did that.
Yeah.
So I actually have a real scary experience. Okay. So first off, when I've been the before times, before COVID and all that, when I would travel for work, I would use Pokemon Go to explore the areas I was in. And I was walking around downtown Sacramento and literally a thunderstorm out of nowhere to the point I was stuck under a bridge with like lightning strikes happening off in the distance where I could not move. Standing there with my phone going, I don't know what to do. What do I do?
What do I do?
About 2.5 miles from my hotel.
Oh my
God. With no car near me. I was, you know, just went on a walk. So that was a real scary experience with it. That actually scared the crap out of me. It made me actually check AccuWeather before I leave from now on.
I hatched a 100% Magikarp, and I'm just so used to deleting Magikarp that when I went through, I deleted it, and then I was like, I think it was doing something where I wanted to evolve. Oh, it was during I think it was December where it could get whatever, you know,
Aqua the Tail. Community name.
Yeah, Aqua Tail. So I was like, oh, let me, you know, evolve it now so that I have it ready for Master League, and I'm looking for it. I'm like, I know I have this. Where is it? I'm like, and I deleted it, and I was pissed. So, what do we got here? So another one from JD Mojo Jojo. Subscriptions. When do you see this getting rolled out? End of season going into, or end of season going to next year? I'm going to say probably next year.
I think end of this, I think start of the next season. So December.
Yeah, probably around then. I mean, it's close to the beginning of next year and end of the year. So somewhere around there, I think so as well.
Cool. Let's see.
I highlight Cinder Hayes's response there, because I actually really like his idea for subscriptions, though.
Okay. So he writes, I hope any subscription content takes into account some of the pain of rural players. A huge issue is not having a Pokestop near you, having a home base that pops up at a designated location would be massive. I like that. I like that idea.
Yeah, because it would tie in the main series too, especially with Diamond Pearl coming out and Secret Bases was a thing there.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, maybe we get it with the Diamond Pearl release. Mm. I would love that feature, but I unfortunately don't see Niantic doing that as cool as it would be.
No, maybe like a guaranteed, like if you have a subscription, you're guaranteed like 5 house spawns a day or something like that. Just something like a little... Just extra items. There.
Playing, you know, I always note this when I go back to the East Kentucky and play. My bag gets empty real quick. In Lexington, when I'm playing, I never have space in my bag. So just keeping stocked up on items, because you take it for granted that, hey, if I'm just out for a drive, I can throw my gotcha on and I'm going to spend, you know, 100 stops between here and when I come home. In a rural area, you may only have 5 stops in your entire town.
Yeah. So next one, King Tom writes, who's your favorite Pokemon to use in PvP, any league? What is your favorite move to use? So Swampert. Wildcat.
can you take a guess? right now, until a couple weeks when it gets released, I'm going to say Drifloon. And I do love me some Icy Wind. I just think it's such a...
It's so annoying.
So it's a very annoying, but... Unlike a lot of other debuff moves, it actually packs a punch behind it. So it really can shift the game very quickly.
That is true.
Dino?
Swampert.
Yeah, I mean, guys, come on. Like, I mean, at this point, it's just like a repetitive, you know, I sound like a broken record. Swampert with Hydro Cannon.
Yeah, there you go. I've said it before, and we talked about him earlier. Toxicroak is one of my favorite PvP Pokemon, and I love counter as a move. I think it's a fun move. It's it hits hard and generates energy. You can't ask for more than that. And it's good most of the time against most things. Let's see. Where's our next one here? So this one comes from Matthew Breaker. How do you divide your time from playing Pokemon Go and your personal/family life? Has it ever been an issue where it has been an unhealthy obsession?
I mean, for me, I'll start. And it used to be. And I think that's kind of why it went down, you know, I kind of slowed down a lot from that point. But in the start of life, I would say like the first 2-3 years, it was bad.
I can ditto that. I think it absolutely, I mean, we're hosting a podcast about Pokemon Go. I think we all can say it's a slight unhealthy obsession. But I think dedicating time for both your play and your personal family time. And when you're in one of those two bubbles, the other one doesn't matter. So I am in a differently unique situation where my wife doesn't care about Pokemon. She really doesn't. She will listen to me talk all day about it, but does not care. So I've had to learn to not constantly make that the conversation topic at all the time, even though it's something I do enjoy a lot. I also, you know, I've mentioned on the show, I dedicate my weekends. Me and my daughter will go out on what we call, or she calls our adventures, and I'll play, you know, an hour or 2 hours during that time. So I'm getting time with my family while playing. After, I know it's a big deal for you with your kids as well. So,
yeah. So for the most part during the week, I'm playing in the morning on my way to work, in the evening on my way home. And then once everybody goes to bed, then, you know, I'll play, you know, I'll do my sets and stuff like that. When I'm at work, I'll have sometimes, if I remember, I'll put my gacha on, and let it run in the background. But for the most part, as soon as I get to work, like I don't have time to think about anything else.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point. I think the gacha has helped a lot with that play / life balance, because you can easily throw that on and be playing but not actively engaged with your phone in front of your face.
Yeah, exactly. And then with me having, you know, so many kids, all I can say is get them into Pokemon as soon as you can, so that when they're older, you can play with them. Because my three oldest, every Saturday, "Daddy, we go on Pokemon hunting." I don't have to ask them, "Do you want to go Pokemon hunting?" They ask me. And they're sometimes it's like, "I just want to stay home." And they're yeah. like, "Let's go." Because, you know, they don't get to play during the week at their mom's house. So when they get to my house, it's like they've got to catch up in like 3 days, everything that I've already done. So it's like, now it's their time. So now that's when we go out and finish, you know, some of their researches and stuff like that. Luckily, my wife plays occasionally. Every once in a while, she'll surprise me with a text message being like, "What is this? Do I need to keep this? Do I delete it? Do you need it? Do you want me to, do we need to transfer?"
Very kind.
But, you know, at like Wildcat said, like, it's not something she's like obsessed with. She doesn't know a lot about it, so talking to her all day about it would drive her insane. She supports, you know, the podcast and all that stuff. And her thing is, if it's going to make you happy and you're doing something and you're good at it, keep doing it. But, you know, she's, you know, sitting outside waiting for me to finish recording. So, you know, it's fun. It's just, you have to have that balance. I've seen this game ruin relationships when you don't know how to balance out a video game versus your actual life. It's one thing that I think we've always said on this show. It's just a game. Like, at the end of the day, if Niantic shut down and shut this game, you don't die at the end. Like, you're not dead at the end of it. You're going to move on. You're going to find something else to do, or, you know, whatever. Don't make this your number one priority, because at the end of the day, it's just a game. There's more things. Let me see before we get into Fish's, because Fish's question is going to be a while. Let's see.
Chipsy.
Let's go to Chipsy. Right. "Hey, lads. Opinions on the best buddy system in relation to GBL. No problems with the mechanics in leveling up your buddy, but I'm not a fan of having to have buddy deployed with you to get the bonus on that one mon. As we continue to gather more buddies for the boost, I would like to see the boost applied to any mon that has achieved the buddy status. Best buddy status. It's frustrating to have to switch buddies in and out during set. One, it's time consuming, and two, it interrupts any mon current you're trying to best buddy by killing the mood generation. I'm at a point where I prefer to find rank one mons that are not boosted rank ones, because there's no way to have them all on the same team together. I agree. Like, I think we've talked about this before, that we kind of all agree with that.
Yeah.
There should be a switch, especially now with, like, you know, like Chipsy says, a lot of those Pokemon having to be like best buddied, like some of them that don't hit, you know, whatever that cap is, like, I'm trying to think, like, I think it's a lot.
Umbreon.
Like Ultra League, probably in Ultra League, you'd see it more, I think, than Great League now.
I will say the one caveat, I do still think they should keep the only one boost at a time method. So if you best buddy Umbreon, Talonflame, Abomasnow, you can't have them all three boosted at the same time. You have to choose. That way you actually have to design a team around a specific Pokemon that you want to boost.
Say that was like a little OP if you did have like three boosted best buddies. That would just be scary, especially like you mentioned in Ultra League, which I already hate as it is with XL. Like, imagine just like having three that have like Talonflame, like G-Fisk, you know, Umbreon, and all those Pokemons that everyone sees in Ultra League, all best buddies, boosted at the same time. I kind of see his point of view, but I feel like at the end of the day, it would be a little OP if all of them were boosted at the same time.
Yeah. I think where it would probably come in the biggest play is like in a Sylph format, because you could essentially have, you know, let's say Abomasnow, Umbreon, and, you know, whatever, another one that needs to be buddy boosted on your team, but doesn't necessarily mean you're running all three of them together. And if you run a set, you know, your first battle and you're like, man, I got to switch this one out for this because it's not working. Technically, according to the rules, you can't quit the game, go switch your buddy, and then come back in unless the person's cool with it. But for the most part, most people are going to be like, no, you got to pick one or the other. But being able to just make a switch like right there in your like your little team thing or whatever, your battle teams, I think that would be a little easier. That's just my opinion. let's see. We've got one from Artemis, Niantic, and TPC love tying events. We all do. And with the Sinnoh remakes coming next month, what Pokemon from Sinnoh do you think should get a community day to close out 2021? Wildcat.
It would not be a new shiny, but I think one that would be a huge PvP relevance is Bronzor. Give Bronzong a better fast move other than just Confusion. I think that could really change the game because Bronzor has so much bulk to it. Giving it something where it can build up synergy a little quicker would actually make that thing probably a top tier Pokemon. So I think Bronzor would actually be a really cool one, even though its shiny is fairly common because it's a perma boosted shiny.
I like that. Dino?
Yeah, I mean, the list is not too long. I actually did see that Drifblim was there. I'm surprised he didn't mention that. But
it's perfect the way it is.
Until some new Pokemon come in on Friday or whenever that was again. I mean, I personally say like most of these have good moves already, but maybe I was in between Lucario, but I think Lucario has his moves good as it is. Maybe Drapion, maybe just like a different move for it. We see that it's kind of relevant a little bit in Ultra League now, and as well as Great League, but I feel like it just needs one, like a different move, a different charge move for it to be a little bit better.
I like that. I would say Onix and Steelix.
I like that.
You need the stone to evolve Onix into Steelix, so technically it falls into that region. But if you want to get like only new whatever, I would say was Hoot Sinnoh, or was that before?
It was before.
No. Then I don't know. I'm keeping my Steelix and Onix then.
I think one that would possibly get people hyped would be Shinx, actually, even though, Lord, I have enough shiny Shinx.
No, I don't like that.
I like my Onyx.
Onyx is good. That was a good one.
So now let's get to the big one. So our friend Fish likes to give us homework for our show. I need to start giving him homework, start writing in questions for him in DeFi. So he writes in, can you cast a live action Pokemon series starring A-list celebrities? The roles that we need to cast are Ash, Pikachu, Bulbasaur, Charmander, Charizard, Squirtle, Misty, Togepi, Brock, Gary, Eevee, Jesse and James, Meowth, Nurse Joy, and Officer Jenny, Professor Oak, and Ash's mom, and Mr. Mime.
Oh, this dirty man went back and added two to me. I didn't see the two new ones, Meowth and Mr. Mime.
You see, you should have thought like I did.
All I gotta say is good luck to you guys.
I haven't fully casted, and I actually can pick a Mr. Mime. I don't know if I have a Meowth.
Do you want me to go?
You go first, though. First, I want then? You to go first.
Okay. So, for Ash, Tom Holland, so Spider-Man, for those who don't know his actual name, the new Spider-Man, the kid. For Misty, Allison Hannigan, that is, for those who don't know her name, real name, it's Lily from How I Met Your Mother, also the girl from American Pie that goes to band camp, her. For Brock, Adam Park, which is Adam the Black Ranger from Power Rangers, the second one after Zach. Thought that was a good one. For Jesse, I had Helena Carter, which is Bellatrix in the Harry Potter movies. James, Jason, I'm going to butcher the last name, Sadusky, Ted Lasso, the guy who plays Ted Lasso. He's just funny, and I feel like he could do that whole James like attitude. Nurse Joy, I've got Emma Watson, Officer Jenny. So Emma Watson is Hermione. Officer Jenny, Zoe Deschanel, Professor Oak, Jackie Chan, Gary, Joe Keery. It's what's his name from Stranger Things? Not the older guy that gets beat up or starts beating people up with the baseball bat in the first series, the first season. And then Julia Roberts for Ash's mom, and Hank Azaria as all the Pokemon listed. And for those of you who don't know, Hank Azaria is also the voice of 90% of your Simpsons characters.
Cop out.
Yes, but it was a great one.
Oh,
because he can do them all.
Okay, you beat me on Ash. You got a much better Ash than I did. And I actually considered it and changed it. So for Ash, I went with Chris Evans. Misty, I have Emma Stone. Perfect redhead to play Misty. Brock, I went with Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Pikachu, who else could you cast as Pikachu other than Ryan Reynolds? Been there, done that, and he was a great Pikachu. Bulbasaur, Millie Bobby Brown. She is the girl from Stranger Things, 11.
Okay.
Charmander, Charizard, Chris Pratt. Squirtle, and this is my wife's casting, was Howie Mandel, because he kind of looks like a turtle. Eevee is Natalie Portman.
Okay.
Togepi is Anne Hathaway.
Uh-huh.
Jesse is Anna Kendrick. James is Tom Hiddleston. Because who else can play better evil villain than Tom Hiddleston? Nurse Joy is Jennifer Lawrence. Officer Jenny is Elizabeth Olsen. Professor Oak is Henry Cavill. If you don't know, he is the main character on White Collar. And he's played in a lot of other stuff as well. But Gary, I went more of a funny route with this one and said Kevin Hart. The mom, I think, would be
a good one.
I think he would be a great Gary. Just the sarcastic Gary, and then add in the jokiness of Kevin Hart would make it really pop, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Mom is Emily Blunt. Meowth, I'm going to go with Robert Downey Jr. Very similar reason with Kevin Hart. The mouthiness of Meowth and then Robert Downey Jr.'s acting ability and just the way he delivers his lines, I think would be hilarious. And Mr. Mime out of left field, I'm going Gary Busey. Because Mr. Mime is scary, and who is scarier than Gary Busey?
Gary Busey. Oh my gosh. It's one of my favorite. Him playing himself in Entourage is one of my favorite things in the world. If you haven't seen any of, look up Gary Busey in Entourage, and it's just awesome. It's almost as good as when, was it, Bob Saget is on there, mm-hmm. and he's all drugged out. That's always fun seeing Danny Tanner in any type of movie. I think that's it. Dino, do you have any? Because I know you didn't before.
No. I don't even want to try, because I didn't even know, like, I'm not going to lie to you, like, probably like 70% of the people that you guys mentioned.
That's why I tried to give, like, who they were, like, in a show that you would remember.
I tried to go mostly actual A-list, unlike Astro over here, since he did say A-list actors.
They're all A-lists, in my opinion. Listen, the Black Ranger, I mean, there was Zach, and then there was Adam, and that's it.
I think of all of mine, you may have not known Henry Cavill. That's the only real sort of unrecognizable name on my list.
How are you going to say Jackie Chan? How are you going to do Jackie Chan like that? Like, Jackie Chan is an A-list.
I'll give you Jackie Chan all day.
And Hank Azaria for the win. Listen, he does most of the voices on The Simpsons. Why can't he do all the Pokemon? And that is all of our questions, and I think that's a show.
That is it.
That is a all show. Right.
Yeah, I think we're done bullshitting and talking about movies and Pokemon. So before we wrap up, I just want to give a big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. If you want to support the show, you can. For as little as $1 a month, that will gain you access to our Discord. I will have the link for you in the show notes if you want to do that. Special thank yous to our Coach's Corner supporters, JD Mojo Jojo, Clifford Mert, and new Coach's Corner supporter, Thanks Friend 673, our Patreon producers, King Flip, Kittens and High Fives, and King Tom, our Discord admins, Reyes 683, Siegel, and Miami Doc. You can follow us on our Twitter. It's at BTWPVPPodcast. You can email us anytime at btwpvp@gmail.com. Links for the merch store, Patreon, and our friends, our mate Fish on a Heater, and Pallet Town PvP, all in the show notes. Make sure you check out that Pallet Town PvP. They're doing a lot of cool stuff. I think they're doing like some type of like revolving tournament or something like that, right? That looks pretty cool, and I think there's actual prizes for it, right? So get on that. I think that's the link will take you to the Patreon so that you can get access to that as well. And I think that's it. Yeah, I think I got everything. It's always like I always forget and feel like I'm forgetting something. Well, thank you all for listening to the BTW Beginner to Winner PvP podcast. I'm AstroZombie 954.
I'm Wildcat Dad 17.
I am Niño Mágico, and until next time, good luck and get good.
So it just turned midnight during that last little bit of the questions, Dino. Were you playing your sets?
No. That's gonna suck.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.